Good afternoon, fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from deep within the heart of Liberty State, Spokane Valley, brought to you once again by the committee to elect Matt Shea Republican in the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story in the news. Behind the news, it's not about right or left. It's about right and wrong, about our hope not being in man but in Jesus Christ, about not ending in prayer but moving to action, about Luke 17, 20 through 21. Now, having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There it is,' for behold, the kingdom of God is inside you," or in some translations, "in your midst." Amen. I want to talk today, this nice sunny day of June, about this attempt to demonize Christians that is gaining a ton of steam. And unfortunately, people who would claim they're Christians are the ones that are the worst persecutors. Now, I want to back up historically, and let's go to the former Soviet Union. There was an obsession in the former Soviet Union with spying. We've been watching a great documentary on the Kolyma Gulag between Magadan and Yakutsk. And it is very interesting to see the parallels between that and today, in that there was this obsession that everybody needed to kind of turn everybody else in. And there were Christians who turned in other Christians. It's kind of like a patriotic duty. Those Christians went and suffered in the gulag a lot of times for no reason. They estimated about a quarter of the prisoners in the gulag were there for, you know, so-called political crimes, crimes against the state. It's interesting, too, that in 1963, about that time frame, there was a split in the Soviet Union between what was called the state church and later, based on the findings from something called the Matroikan Archives. Now, this was an archivist, KGB archivist. He brought all these notes and KGB archives out of the former Soviet Union and proved a lot of things, including the infiltration of the KGB into places that were just pretty profound to people. For example, alleging Yasser Arafat was a KGB agent, and then backing it up with these primary sources. All right, so the Matroikan Archive proved that there was also infiltration into the church. And there's a book called The Sword and the Shield that you can go get that talks about this. But the heads of the Orthodox Church that were the state church, largely, by and large, were KGB agents, according to the Matroikan Archives. And the confessing church knew that that was the case back then, in the early 1960s. And so there was a split between the confessing church and the state church. And the state church persecuted mercilessly the so-called confessing church, Christians who believe that the power of Jesus Christ, the power of Holy Spirit, still works to this day, and that they needed to confess the gospel, even though they were in the worst tyrannical regime at that time outside of China. So, back in those days, they would not go directly at Christians, but they would blame Christians for a lot of things. For undermining the state, for example. For subverting the state. For preaching ideas outside of the collective, for undermining the kolkhoz, the collective farms, and the kolkhozniki. And some of you probably are laughing right now. I'll explain that later. Anyway, the bottom line is that they were not directly alleged to have violated the law because they were Christians, but it was a little more subtle than that, but nonetheless, they ended up in the gulag. Now, Article 124 of the former Soviet Union's constitution, this is the one drafted in 1936. Joseph Stalin was in charge at that time. actually talks about a separation of church and state. That doesn't come from the U.S. Constitution, folks. It comes from the Soviet Constitution, just so we're clear on that, okay? And people try to say this all the time. Just go read the Danbury Baptist letters, the letter from the Danbury Baptist, Thomas Jefferson, and his response, and then read his second inaugural address where he also clearly lays out the issue in his position on the fact that government should not be involved in the churches and should not impair the churches. And that's what the Danbury Baptists were worried about at that time. I digress a little bit. The bottom line is the former Soviet Union said they had religious liberty. Even though they said it was separation of church and state, they said they had religious liberty. So they got at Christians a different way. I've been told stories from some folks in the Slavic community that they would, for example, on Sunday, they would have like a work party to clean up the neighborhood. Well, Christians wouldn't show up because they were church, so they would know who the Christians were. And then they would get charged not for Christianity, but for failing to show up for the Sunday work party. So that's important to understand the tactic of socialists and Marxists in what we're seeing today. You hear these words, these kind of catchphrases of undermining, and if you talk about a biblical standard, that's hate, and you need to do something other than hate. First of all, that's a logically inconsistent statement, and it's a logical fallacy on top of it. Secondly, if you have somebody saying hate, and you've got to ask the first, define what that even means, number one. Number two, by what standard are you trying to say something is hateful? If the Bible has a standard, and the standard, for example, is that sex outside of a man and a woman bound in marriage is sin, and that's the clear standard. And if you say that, then that's hateful. Well, wait a minute, that's not hateful, that's just the biblical standard. And so I'm seeing a lot of rhetoric coming into my office, into Facebook, and in different other social media channels where if you're a Christian, you're a hater. And then I heard this the other day, and this was it shouldn't be shocking, but it is. And it effectively was that the only people that don't deserve protection are white Christians. Those are this person's words. Now, obviously it means all Christians, regardless of color, but of the color of their skin. So, but the bottom line is that's what they said. And it is eerily similar. Eerily similar to how Karl Marx talked about the Jews, how Adolf Hitler talked about the Jews, how Joseph Stalin talked about Christians. It's eerily similar. When you start to demonize a group of people based on ethnicity and their religion, you are getting perilously close to what happened back in that era. It's happened in other places in the world since then, but I'm just for purpose of illustration back in that era. Perilously close. I got another interesting message in regards to the fact, effectively, that wildlife is more important than human beings, and particularly right-wing human beings. So you have a dehumanization of Christians. This is what we're seeing today, folks. Now, America is different than any other country in the world because in the history of America, when we first came here, our forefathers came here to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, expand the kingdom of Jesus Christ. They understood that if they did not fight back against tyranny and oppression, that they would be overwhelmed and become complicit in that sin. And this first started actually with raids into the original villages on the East Coast. And they finally decided, we have to fight back. There is no pacifism, no culture of martyrdom. We have to fight back. Otherwise, we become complicit in the sin. We're allowing these people to murder our friends and family. We're allowing these people to rape and pillage our friends and family. We have to fight back. And so in America, that culture crossed the West. And a lot of the peoples that came from like Scotland and Ireland and China and Vietnam and other places where they'd been really severely persecuted, like the former Soviet Union. They came here to America. They understand the need to have firearms to defend against that kind of oppression and tyranny. And that's what's different here. But we're hearing the same rhetoric against Christians that was uttered back in the 1930s. It's unbelievable. And nobody on the left, at least by and large, seems to be calling it out. And I'm going to give a few examples here later in the show. But for us as Christians, first of all, we need to be praying for those people. We need to forgive them. We need to bless them in the name of Jesus Christ. But we do not back down. We stand up boldly and proclaim the gospel and worship. When they're hating on us, worship back. Worship the Lord back as a response. This is a spiritual battle before it's a physical battle here, like the manifestation here. And I don't want somebody to take that out of context either. This is a spiritual battle before there's a physical manifestation of that spiritual battle here. Whether that's protests or whatever, it's a spiritual battle first. And one of the things that we need to do as Christians, again, is step out beyond the four walls of the church. And people are sick and tired of me saying that, but we're not doing it. And people have been given such talents to reach groups of people that otherwise wouldn't be reached by folks that have tried the same old thing for years and years and years. But the answer to hate is not compromise. It's standing on the line, standing as Ephesians 6 said, but remaining in the presence of the Lord, forgiving and blessing back until they try to make you complicit in their sin. And we're going to see this over the next couple of years particularly. The predictions from a lot of people I talk to, I agree with. And I predict the same thing. There's going to be a ramp-up of this stuff, a ramp-up of anti-Christian sentiment, a ramp-up of this hate rhetoric and baiting and all this kind of stuff. What we're called to do in Ephesians 6 is stand. That's what we're called to do. But not back down. All right, that brings us now to your daily intelligence briefing on the international front. China's media outlet, a state-controlled media outlet, urges war with the United States. This is the same time they're persecuting Christians again on the 30th anniversary of the Tiananmen Square massacre. They're not our friend. The leadership in China is not our friend. The Christians that are there, the persecuted minority folks that are there that want freedom, those folks, they're our friends. The leadership in China is not our friend. And I think Trump is beginning to recognize that. Also on the international front, Mexico, a Mexican senator threatens to take over the United States. So this happens, it seems like, almost every 100 years or so. I don't know what the deal is. Anyway, I think Trump is dealing with it well. I think it's clear that he won. And it's clear that the amount of illegal immigrants coming across the southern border is being cut, although it is still a crisis down there. And he needs to hold the line. Also on the international front, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, the leader of ISIS, apparently the United States had an opportunity to kill him and didn't take it. Raises some questions because it has some similarities with Osama bin Laden. Also on the national front, we have this article out in PJ Media, pjmedia.com, where they conclusively linked Antifa to the mainstream media, Jason Wilson, the guy who did the attack pieces against me, and the Southern Poverty Law Center, Huffington Post, the Guardian newspaper. And look, we aren't surprised by this, but it explains a ton why these people will not denounce the violent actions of Antifa. Now, if you had a right-wing group going out and burning, you know, shops down, breaking windows in a downtown of a major city, it would be a national news story, obviously, and it would not be downplayed. They wouldn't be said to be peaceful protesters or folks that are just frustrated or whatever. It would be this hate-mongering again. But Antifa does this. Wow. Gets downplayed. And again, you see the spin and how this works. I want to talk about, too, this thing, and I'm going to jump back up to the international front very quickly. This happened earlier today. Two explosions on two supertankers carrying Gulf oil. Crews were evacuated. These tankers were in the Gulf of Oman. According to NBC News, Pompeo is effectively blaming Iran for the blatant assault on the oil tankers in the Gulf of Oman. There are reports of troops headed that way. We're going to keep our eyes on some aircraft carriers, too. If you see three or more aircraft carriers in a region, that is a war footing. Doesn't necessarily mean there will be war, but it is a war footing. These are allied aircraft carriers. It doesn't necessarily need to mean U.S. flagged aircraft carriers, but three or more in an area and begins to look like a war footing. So we're going to keep our eyes on that, what's happening in the Middle East. Also, I want to talk about what happened, this miracle that happened in the Middle East where this Christian Yazidi man was doused with 20 gallons of gasoline and burned by ISIS, but he didn't burn, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, I talked about this last time, but I want to take another little bit of a twist on this, that what a testimony that was to those ISIS fighters, too. Because they saw it. Just like Nebuchadnezzar, they saw it. They saw a miracle, and it affected them greatly, whether they admitted it or not. What a testimony of this man. I mean, what unbelievable. So if you want to check it out, Western Journal, Conservative Tribune, he was lit on fire three times and never burned, according to this report. Just amazing. And also, just to bring up an organization, it's called Save the Persecuted Christians, savethepersecutedchristians.org. Check them out. We're working on bringing them here to Spokane, and keep you informed on when that's going to happen here. Probably in the next 3 weeks or so, we're going to have a movie showing and talk about the persecution of the Christian church that's happening around the world and now has started to happen here in the United States of America. So savethepersecutedchristians.org. Check them out. They've got a little, you know, 3-minute video, really explains well what they're all about. All right, also on the national front, the beef industry continues to be under attack. And, you know, I've had a lot of guests on that have talked about what's going on. Tom DeWeese has come out with the article, American Policy Center. You can check it out. But the fact of the matter is that all the regulations, you know, stubble height, sustainable, so-called sustainable farming practice, all this garbage, they're essentially trying to make it so our folks cannot raise cattle here in the United States of America, and the wolf issue and all of these things. And why that is important is because it is a strategic food supply to be able to grow your own food. You depend on Brazilian beef. That's a problem. So we're going to keep our eyes on that as well. But this assault continues. It really does. All right. I want to talk about the USMCA. I keep doing that. USMCA agreement that effectively is the precursor to a North American Union, sets that up, economic precursor up, just like happened in the European Union, the failing European Union, I might add. And I want to highlight, because we've had this controversy here in Spokane about the drag queens here recently, drag queen story hour. But many people don't know that the USMCA actually legalizes workplace gender identity protections under Chapter 23. Now, you can go read this for yourself, Chapter 23 of the USMCA. So why on one hand would we be opposed to that and then want to put it into an international agreement, for goodness sake? And by the way, you don't need government for there to be true free trade. In fact, if government's involved, it really isn't free trade because there are always going to be regulations attached to it. All right, also, this coming to us from Readout News. These guys have been doing a fantastic job covering stuff. I love it. Sherry Duvalli reports about the government lying about data on school shootings. So NPR, known for its left-leaning bias, did a study on the U.S. Education Department report stating that nearly 240 schools reported at least one incident involving a school-related shooting, which is far higher than most other estimates. They reported their findings in the article, The School Shootings That Weren't, on August 27, 2018. They made numerous efforts to contact every one of those schools discussed in the government report and found that more than two-thirds of these reported incidents never happened. I want you to hear that again. Two-thirds of the reported school shooting incidents that they were using to lobby for this gun control stuff never happened in regards to this report. Great job, Readout News, for bringing that to our attention. Awesome, awesome job. All right. Another interesting thing that happened is that health officials admitted that the MMR vaccine actually causes measles. You heard that right. Health officials admitted that the MMR vaccine actually causes measles. These are public health officials in New Hampshire. Again, this isn't Readout News. And that's a pretty big admission, finally, that this live attenuated vaccine sheds virus when a person has the vaccine, and they can actually cause measles to people around them. So take a look at that. Get educated on that issue. A lot of misinformation out there, and just read up on it for yourself. See the primary source documents. All right, on the national front, again, Planned Parenthood involved in a sex scandal, providing prostitutes, apparently, to patrons and donors. This is on WorldNet Daily. You could take a look at it. My goodness gracious. They provided prostitutes, allegedly, to their staff, donors, and partners. Unbelievable. Why are they still getting taxpayer money? Somebody please answer that question. On a positive note, this is coming to us from the Washington Examiner, fetal tissue research. Apparently more than $100 million a year was given to researchers who utilized fetal tissue of aborted babies. That is now going to be stopped by the Department of Health and Human Services. So great job for the Trump administration stopping that. Also, from the New American, an article very interesting about abortion ban is bad for business, say 180 corporate executives in a pro-abortion ad. So effectively, the ban for abortion is bad for business, bad for the bottom line. Okay, what? Banning murder is bad for profits and the operation of your business. Wow. Just wow. So check that out on the New American. Wow. I mean, what do you say to that? All right. Also on the national front, a feminist finally admitted that abortion is killing, but killing that we need to defend. That's what she said. Sophie Lewis, a radical feminist author, says the violence of killing an unborn baby can be defended because the violence by the fetus against the gestator. You heard that correctly. the violence of killing an unborn baby can be defended because of the violence by the fetus against the gestator or the mom. So now there it is in the wide open, justified killing. Obviously, that's a dubious reason. Justified killing of other human beings. There it is. They finally admitted it. So, pray for these folks. My goodness, how twisted of a mind to justify the killing of other human beings like that. Wow. And it's interesting they try to project that violence onto Christians, by the way. All right, also on the national front, Masterpiece Cake Shop under fire again. Jack Phillips, one of the bakers down there, under fire again because this guy kept coming in saying, hey, I want you to make a cake with Satan doing a sex act. And he said, yeah, no, I'm not going to do that. And so now he's being sued again. And then we have this article, too, from WorldNet Daily on Pinterest. According to whistleblowers, and whistleblower testimony, insider documentation, that the company prevents routine access to phrases like Bible verses instead of auto-populating search bars with Bible verses. Also blocked a pro-life organization as well. So check that out on WorldNet Daily. And then last, I'm hearing of people being fired from their jobs for voicing biblical standards here locally. And it's not just, you know, one or two people. This is happening. People are being threatened for talking about Christianity. Unreal. On the regional front, 500 moms strong this weekend, the 15th. The South Hill Library branch, they are going to be there to protest the Drag Queen Story Hour. Unbelievably, up in Colville, Washington, according to Larry Stickney, and they have pictures to back this up, the rainbow flag replaced the POW MIA flag apparently over Memorial Weekend, if you can believe that. How, what a slap in the face. Also, you have Sean Vestal of the Socialist Review, of course, according to Readout News, effectively defending the sexualization of children or the sexualizing of children. According to their story here, he is defending the Drag Queen Story Hour. Huh. So check out the Readout News article on Sean Vestal defends sexualizing children. Again, where are we at in this world? My goodness gracious. And lastly, PJ Media again, pjmedia.com. A Seattle yoga teacher offers a class on undoing whiteness. You heard that right. So this is just another reason. Okay, that is not the values, tradition, culture, and heritage of Liberty State. It just isn't. And just one more reason, just we don't want to be a part of downtown Seattle. You know, doing this kind of stuff and creating this kind of division is not what unifies us. You know, unifying us as Christians, unifying us around the Constitution. I mean, my goodness. Wow. Yoga class. Probably not a lot of people show up at. I don't know. Anyway, I believe, too, that when we start bringing up these terms that divide us, you know, that we can discuss it and say, hey, this is going on and recognize the reality of it. But truly, as Christians, we just should be not even thinking about that, not even talking that way. It's just we're Christians. We're confessing Christians who believe in the power of God, that are born again, saved by grace, water baptized, spirit filled, and outliving their Christianity beyond the four walls of the church. That's what we should be doing. So anyway, take a look at that if you get a chance. Just some unbelievable stuff. Lastly, on the local front, good news out of Spokane Valley, a budget surplus. And again, I don't know how many times this is now. It's half a dozen at least times where they have not raised the property tax when they could have, and they have a budget surplus on top of it. Great job, Spokane Valley City Council, Mayor Rod Higgins, particularly. You're doing a great job out there. Keep us conservative. And that's a briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that has been praying for us. And if you get a chance, go to Patriot Radio US on Facebook. Like the page, share it with your friends and family. And if you want to keep us on the air, you can go to VoteShea.com. And Patriot Radio is also on iTunes and Podbean. Well, it's my pleasure to introduce my guest today, Jorge Ramos of the Pacific Justice Institute. He's a staff attorney. He's established the first PJI office in Washington State because there's so much going on up here. Jorge, thanks for joining me on Patriot Radio today. How are you doing?
Great. Thanks, Matt. Thanks for having me on.
Well, if you can, for the listeners that are maybe not familiar with PJI, and even though I've had Brad Dacus on before, just explain the organization very quickly and also your new office in Seattle.
Sure. We are a religious liberties legal firm. We represent individuals, families for their civil liberties, religious freedoms, and parental rights. And they've been located in California since 1997. And I was tasked with opening the office here in Seattle September of last year.
So in your first little while here in Washington State, officially, with PJI, what have you seen as far as the environment is concerned regarding religious liberty? I know there's issues, especially, too, regarding vaccinations. What are you seeing out there right now?
Well, it's just as I thought when I was first tasked with taking on this job. You know, the chief counsel for PJI contacted me and said they were getting just flooded with inquiries from Washington State, and they wanted to establish a ground presence here so that we could respond to it quickly and not have to have any delay in our response time. So since I started the office, I got an outpouring from parents and teachers, and just there's a lot going on. There's a reason we're here. I felt spirit-led, and that's what Brad, I'm sure, told you. They're planning on opening more offices, but we've established ourselves here in California, Oregon, and Washington now. So there's a lot to be done, and, you know, it's the word's still getting out. You know, it's actually getting busier and busier as more people know we're here. And I'm encouraged that people are becoming aware of our services so that we can actually, you know, defend them when they did not know that someone was here for them to protect their rights.
Well, I want to talk about parents here in a little bit, but I want to start with folks that may make a remark at work. They may make a remark after work, but to a coworker, and then that remark, because it reflects a biblical standard on whatever the issue might be, could be abortion, it could be, you know, drag queen story hour, whatever. They give the biblical standard, and then they suffer retribution, retaliation for that, up into including having their job threatened or either being fired outright. What are you hearing out there in regards to that, number one? And number two, in situations like that, what can people do?
Yeah, I actually was contacted by a teacher in Washington State who was being forced to use a pronoun, which she just refused to do, and we were able to help in that situation and ensure that the school respected her religious views. And, if anyone out there, you know, gets attacked or threatened due to their religious views, they need to give us a call, email us, and we'll get involved. I mean, I'm prepared to go to disciplinary hearings, to draft letters, to show up right away. People need to know that they need to feel empowered to not just cave. You know, most people just get scared and they don't think that there's anyone out there to protect them, or they think that the system's just stacked against them, which sadly it is, but we don't need to just sit back and take it. You know, we do have to fight back sometimes, and we need to proclaim our faith as the calling is.
We absolutely do, and I find it curious, too, that some of the people that are that are doing this, you know, if it was, if the shoe was on the other foot, you know, they were in the position, they would be claiming that this was discrimination and, you know, and on and on and on. And yet it doesn't apply equally. I find that mindset very hard to grasp. I know it's, you know, it's been entrenched in Western Washington and in California for a while, but I just find it hard to grasp. How do you explain that to folks, you know, when they come into you and say, how can this possibly be happening?
Well, I mean, here in Washington State, it's not that surprising. I mean, they are using the idea of inclusion to exclude Christians from just the, I guess, the public discussion, and that's the big threat. You know, we also have other religious groups who are getting privileges when Christians are left out. In particular, we can look at the Muslim community who were granted rights during Ramadan by certain school districts in Washington State that would be unheard of for Christians. So Christians in particular need to be on the lookout for attacks because we have been singled out, because we've been mischaracterized as, you know, all those wrong terms that were called out there that I wish not to repeat.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed. Well, PJI has also done quite a bit of work in regards to homeschoolers and folks that are trying to opt out of certain sex ed curriculum being taught in schools. And now, as of late, vaccinations. So we have a recent law in Washington State that removed the personal and philosophical exemption from the form. You can still claim a religious exemption, despite one of the letters that went out here locally that was very confusing to people. You can still claim the religious exemption and the medical exemption. If you could outline some of those things for the folks and talk about where they can go to, you know, get some forms and get some help in kind of navigating these waters.
Sure. I've actually been reached out to by an organization. I believe it's Informed Consent. So I'm very aware of religious exemptions and medical exemptions either being denied or questioned. And you're absolutely correct. We have forms that we can send people. People can contact us on our website, pji.org. You just need to be aware, you know, the state does have very strong policing powers in the area of vaccinations for schools. So we would have to review every case by case. But yeah, I just encourage people to get informed, contacting us, and to ensure that their views are protected.
Well, let's talk a little bit too about homeschooling and, you know, opting out of sex ed curriculum. What are the things that you see normally that you know, people call your office and they say, hey, Jorge, I need help with this, right? What does that look like, and what should the steps people take in each one of those instances? So the first instance regarding homeschooling, let's say CPS calls them, right, and tries to take some sort of action against them. And then the second, trying to opt their kids, if their kids are in public school, out of, you know, some sort of sex ed curriculum that is wildly inappropriate.
Yeah, and in regards to homeschooling, we would, if we get a call in regards to that, the first thing we do is we go to the RCWs, we go to the WACs, we see what the state agency is attempting to do. You know, we're a legal foundation, legal organization. We're gonna see if they're following their own regulations. If they're not, we're prepared to go to court. We file a suit. You know, we charge $1 for our representation. We're a pro bono, but you know, we do first class service. We're going to take lawsuits all the way to the Superior Court, to the Supreme Court if we have to. So if homeschoolers fear agency action, they just need to contact us, and we'll look and do it. If there's something to be done, we will do it. And, you know, actually, in regards to sex ed, I received a call just yesterday. A parent was told by the school, hey, we didn't see the opt-out form. So, in fact, your student went through the whole process, viewed the materials you opted out. They claimed that the form was glued to the bottom of their file. Not sure what we can do there. We're looking into that, but that's just me telling everyone on the air that, you know, you need to stay on top of it to truly ensure that your children are not exposed to this, you know, explicit material that's meant to brainwash them and sexualize them. It's you know, the schools can find ways if parents don't send these forms forms that are on our website free of charge, certified, having proof that you mailed them and that they can't deny that. And it's just, I also would tell parents to make sure they look in their kids' PTs and their folders, and because there's still the law that you need to go to these curriculum review nights that are usually twice a year, and kids will not be able to be opted out if they do not go to this. The law is very confusing that there's two laws, the Healthy Youth Act and the Omnibus AIDS Act, which have different opt-out clauses. So they kind of put the onus on parents to stay focused, which to me seems unfair, as parents are working and raising kids to also have to be on the lookout for multiple ways to opt out. Just seems like a burden, something that I know there's been movement to try to just, you know, make it all into one, where one signature tells the school, my child does not want to be in this education. I think that is called for and long time coming.
So do you foresee in the future, and because you've seen what's happened in California, and a lot of people up here in Washington are very weary, and they think that, you know, some of the things that have happened in California are going to come up here. For example, removing the religious exemption for vaccinations, or removing the ability to opt out of sex ed curriculum. Do you see that coming up here? And what can parents do to kind of fight back against some of that stuff?
You know, I wish I could say I don't see that happening, but, you know, I think Washington is following California's footsteps as we speak. And I think the great news I have, and something that I've noticed as I started here, is that there's just pockets of citizens, parents, groups who are rising up. I do think there's a movement here in Washington State of Christians who are fed up and maybe are scared of what's happening in California. I think we need to stay alert, keep alerting our Christian friends at church, you know, Facebook, use social media. It's a tool, you know. There's some protests coming up here near our place here, and I think Burien or Des Moines, there's going to be a protest for the Drag Queen Story Hour. So it's, you know, packing those events, letting the other side know that we're not just going to take it, and that there is a side that is out there protecting the children and not just giving up the state's agenda, giving up to the state's agenda.
So what can parents do to really prepare themselves for some of this stuff? I mean, what are some steps they can take right now? Let's say this, you're talking to a parent who maybe next year they're going to be putting their kid into public school. What would be a step they could take right now to, you know, be preventative and be ahead of the curve for some of the things that their child might be exposed to in the public school?
Sure. I think the first thing, you know, as we're going into summer, would absolutely to download one of those forms, check every box that takes them out of curriculum that's uncalled for, and also surveys and things that are meant just to gather information on citizens without parents even really knowing. But also, most schools, I think most schools have to, they do have to let parents go and review curriculum. So, you know, sometimes cases arise when a teacher in social studies decides to teach something that shouldn't be taught in social studies. You know, they've got a curriculum plan, and they got to follow it. So if parents hopefully make time to go to the school district, give them a hard time, say, I want to review my kid's curriculum, and I want to make sure you guys are teaching them things that I want to be taught. You know, that's our right, and if we don't exercise it, they're going to start sneaking stuff in. And it's our job as parents. You know, I have two little girls. I've been blessed enough to be able to send my eldest here in kindergarten to a private school, but if I was sending him to a public school, I would be on top of that, because I can't imagine not knowing what's being taught to my children. I know in the past maybe we thought we could trust the state more, but I think those days are gone, and we need to be proactive and go to the schools and demand that we review the materials.
So let's say that a parent is getting ready to homeschool their kid. What are some preventative things that a parent can do right now in regards to homeschooling to really protect themselves against the state? Usually CPS, who tries to make, especially in Eastern Washington, we've seen cases where they try to really kind of make up reasons to come out there and get it. And I know there's good people in CPS, I do. But, you know, because a parent makes a medical decision that maybe CPS disagrees with, or a religious schooling decision that CPS disagrees with, that's not a ground to come and take people's kids. And we're seeing that kind of on the increase for dubious reasons. And so what can a parent do to protect themselves against that kind of onslaught?
You know, homeschooling is quite a special field, and there are some great organizations here in Washington State who focus in that. We've been pulled in when these organizations need our legal advice. But I would tell parents, you know, to be aware of what typically is happening, how CPS typically intervenes, or how they try to change parenting or the teacher or the curriculum that is being taught while someone is homeschooling. I know that this can be a very complex field, and I would just tell them to reach out to us with specific questions. We are, you know, we are a law firm of 8 individuals who speak daily, who are ready to take on any type of case. So if there's a homeschooler out there who's getting pestered by CPS, don't just sit back. You know, look us up, look up the other great organizations in Washington State, and know that you know, there's people out there who have your back.
And, you know, kind of this final scenario, let's say CPS calls somebody right now and they want to talk just to, you know, kind of understand the situation and just evaluate how things are. And they try to come across as the parents' friends. What should people do in that sort of situation where they either get a knock on the door or a phone call and, hey, we just want to talk?
Are you referring to where they are attempting to perhaps remove a child from a situation? Or?
Yeah, they're kind of starting their preliminary investigation, but they're kind of couching it as just a kind of a friendly chat.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if Brad Dacus told you last time he was on the line, but this is something he particularly focuses in on. There are, I would tell those parents to say everything they want to hear, be nice, but as soon as you get the chance, call one of our attorneys to really find out what needs to be said to keep them away from taking drastic steps to coming to your house, trying to take your child. I mean, there are certain ways to hold them off, fend them off. And, you know, parents usually, like you said, they could kind of get, you know, fade to sleep there with some nice comments from a all well-doing agency. So they can trick us and make us feel comfortable. And next thing we know, or they're coming to our house to take our children away. And that's how it starts. And, you know, if I get one of those calls, hang up after you politely tell them that you need to call someone, and call us, call Brad, and we'll be able to protect you.
All right. For folks out there that maybe not familiar with your website, if you could tell people where they can go to get more information. And then lastly, any other projects you're working on?
Sure. So our website is pji.org. And if you go there, we got drop boxes that'll take you to all types of materials that we get for free for churches, employers, students, parents, just all free. You get them sent to your email, very valuable. We get requests for them multiple times a day, and I just encourage everyone to go check that out. And, you know, Brad Dacus is also on there with a couple quick announcements about what's going on in our practice, but also across the nation. And, you know, right now, I've gotten a lot of requests for services having to do with parents fighting the drag queen story hour. It's a big thing going on here in our area, and I think Spokane just either had it or it's getting scheduled to happen shortly. And, you know, we do have cases involving funds given to organizations and now being threatened to be removed because of one of our favorite organizations, Freedom From Religion Foundation, and that is sarcasm there, but they are sending their letters out. You know, they're sending their letters out as they do, and they demand that certain counties or cities take action. And, of course, these counties take these threats seriously, and thankfully, people find us. We're able to jump in and draft a counter letter, appear by phone, go to these meetings with the council members, and sort of calm them down. That's not correct. And first of all, Freedom From Religion Foundation isn't from Washington State. They don't really know what they're talking about. And here's how it should go. And, you know, that happened before here in Gig Harbor, and we were able to step in and get the nativity scene back last year. You know, small wins, but I think they're big for just the Christian morale and the citizens knowing that there's someone here fighting for them. We're also taking on some freedom of speech matters here, actually, in White Center, which is near Burien, Washington. We're just trying to get the church the ability to share the gospel here on public grounds, being threatened not to be allowed to. So we're again, grateful that churches are aware of our presence here. You know, we've helped countless street preachers in Washington State to continue to preach the gospel. We're able to help a street preacher in Kennewick continue to preach and call out to women, giving them another option to, instead of getting an abortion from Planned Parenthood. He's been out there, and he's just crying out to them, giving them the good news, but also he's brave enough to tell them that he would adopt their children if he'd let them. So, you know, there's a lot going out in that area. You know, we take on religious asylum cases as well. These are individuals being threatened, their life being threatened, being extorted for expressing the gospel in foreign countries. These aren't just people being treated badly. These are people fleeing for fear of their life. And, you know, there was no one taking these cases on. And us at Pacific Justice Institute felt the need to help these individuals. And, you know, beyond that, you know, there's other stuff, but churches are reaching out to us. We help with bylaws. We help file lawsuits against the state. We help defend pastors. So there's really nothing we don't do, and that's what we pride ourselves on. We don't want to leave anyone, you know, left behind. We want to take on every case, not just the great big ones. You know, we're not out to make news. We're just out to protect Christians and continue to let the word be preached.
Amen. And in the last couple minutes we have, what's a message to pastors particularly? And then plug your website one more time.
Sure. To pastors, you know, I've actually been getting a lot of questions because there's so many bills and things being passed, and pastors are wanting to at least have groups come in and speak at their church, or, you know, have individuals just reflect on their views on these sex ed bills or the immunization bills. And I would tell pastors, go to our website, pji.org. We have this great document that lists out your rights to share your views from the pew, but also it talks about politics. You know, the politics and church are a scary thing. You know, no, they don't want to lose their tax exemption status. But really, you know, as long as they follow the rules, which are not that hard to do, in fact, and, you know, I think there's only been one case ever filed in this type of law. So it's really just an empty threat that's been used. You know, we advise them absolutely to read the regulations, to stay in line, but not to stay silent, because, you know, the churches are a big voice, and they're, you know, they can send a rally cry that can change the state. You know, we need to stir up the Christians in Washington State to fight all these bills and actions that are being passed. So again, our website is pji.org. And go check it out and download some free documents that'll help you with your religious liberties.
Right on. Jorge Ramos, Pacific Justice Institute, thanks for joining me on Patriot Radio today. And God bless you guys and keep up the great fight.
Thank you so much, Matt. Take care.
All right. So, again, PJI is the website. You can go take a look at them, and especially the forms on there. They're very, very helpful. A lot of people have been contacting me in regards to vaccine exemptions. I want to talk about that very briefly for a couple minutes. First of all, there is a religious exemption. It still exists, even for the MMR vaccine. The personal and philosophical exemption still exists for everything but the MMR vaccine. So they removed it just from the MMR vaccine, and you can see that on the form now that they still have. So the DOH, Department of Health, they have up on their website right now the existing updated form to do this. And if you need help, please message me on Facebook or send me an email at matt@voteshea.com. And we can get you pointed in the right direction so that you don't feel like you're just kind of doing this all by yourself. You're not. It's really simple. The forms are already there. You just need to know how to fill them out, and then also how to fill them out properly, and then also if there's any supporting documentation that might be needed for it. So again, the religious and the medical exemptions, okay, those still exist for all vaccines across the board, including the MMR vaccine. The medical exemption particularly, there is a good argument because of CDC recommendations, Center for Disease Control, that if you have one member of your family that has been affected negatively or adversely by a vaccine, that you can claim a medical exemption for the rest of your family based on this CDC guideline. Now, not all doctors are going to do that, but that still exists in regards to medical exemptions. In regards to religious exemptions, again, for all people that have a sincerely held religious belief that, you know, it's a temple of the Holy Spirit, it's being violated by the vaccine, vaccine lines, some of them were created from aborted fetal tissue, and many other reasons on top of that, can still receive a religious exemption. Now, the personal and philosophical exemption was removed from the MMR vaccine, but still exists for other vaccines. And you'll see this again on the form. There's a whole list of vaccinations that you can check whether you want or don't want it. All right, so message me on Facebook. Send an email to matt@voce.com, S-H-E-A.com, and we can get you pointed in the right direction if you have any questions. And it's important. Stand up, fight, stand on the line. Don't back down. Don't compromise. Don't be afraid. There are a lot of people out there like Jorge Ramos and Pacific Justice Institute. We're banding together so that we can help defend Christians preaching the gospel. May God bless you all, and may he make this generation the greatest one.